he told him to repent. They didn't repent, then remove the candlestick. Well, I said, now here is a good way that you can make an application of the principle of responsibility, and we're coming right here to it, the transfer of political supremacy to a Gentile power. And this is the mystery that was hidden now, revealed in the New Testament, how that the Gentiles are going to be equal heirs with the Jews and that. And the Jew couldn't see it. He didn't understand it. It was a mystery. All right. So the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king. And so the departure of the Shekinah glory was an important milestone in history. What I wrote out in the margin there. All right. Now then, from the initial coming of the glory at Sinai to its departure from Jerusalem, the Mediatorial Kingdom had endured for approximately 8 centuries. During that long period, the power and authority of the theocracy was never in question. No nation, regardless of its size or strength, was ever in could stand successfully against Israel as long as that people followed the will of its divine king. Even their defeats became, because of sin, were evidence of the supernatural supremacy of this tiny nation, something which has never was never in serious dispute from the miraculous destruction of the Egyptian army in the Red Sea down to the disaster suffered by the Assyrian host at the hand of the angel of the Lord. Israel went down in defeat only when she turned from the divinely written charter of her kingdom. And that was exactly the thing that Brother Madden was getting at yesterday in our period that we studied, talking about how the churches today are getting away from the Word. Other things coming in, for instance, the charismatic movement. And what, for instance, we really had an outbreak of that in Oklahoma at Shawnee Liberty Church. Well, finally, the State Assembly Association of Oklahoma voted their last meeting to withdraw from that church and one other church at Moore, Oklahoma, because of the charismatic movement. I learned from Pat Murphy, a friend of mine of about 40 years. He said that the pastor down at Liberty Church Shawnee believes that we are under all the spiritual gifts today, just as much as they were in New Testament times. Mm-hmm. All right, now you see that's where you can go haywire.
Dr. Harold Camping and somebody told Ben all he taught, he lectured here in Capitol Period just a month or so. Tom Van Ginkle mm-hmm. mentioned, because he gets the San Francisco outlet of that network. Anyway, that this guy is self-taught, that explains why he's often so many things. But anyway, right now he's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Anyway, he brought out that the word miracle, that is translated miracle in the King James, is really from the word dunamis, powers. Mm-hmm. Throughout that whole chapter, not miracles in the truest sense. Mm-hmm. And yet, by clinging to the King James and by overemphasis on miracles,
all right, there you are, you see. So now look, if this happened to Israel, and it's in Romans, I believe it is, that Paul said now, if the natural olive tree was cut off, which was Israel, and ye are grafted don't you branches begin to boast about yourself, because if the other was cut off, the natural tree was cut down, how easy would it be to snatch
the wild branch out of there?
The wild branch out, don't you say? So this is where you can bring this thing down as an application to the responsibility that's resting upon us today as Bible preachers, teachers, and so on, that we had better try to stay with the Word and know more about the Word every day we live, and not be carried about with every wind of doctrine and so on. But now I want you to note this. What did those Jews do to the prophets and so on that God sent to them? Treated them very, very badly. And I happened, this was the overcomers. We didn't go along with it. All right. Now we see right here the transfer of God's working in the world today is through the New Testament church. The Holy Spirit as the administrator and the giver, the inspirer of the Word that He's given us. And this responsibility there. All right. And so we see what happened now to Israel when they turned against God. All right. But now under Zedekiah, last reigning king in Jerusalem, the cup of Israel's iniquity was filled up till there was no remedy. 2 Chronicles 36:11-16. The end came quickly, indicated by at least three significantly related events, all occurring in a short space of about 10 years. These events, with their approximate dates, are as follows. The first one, the transfer of world supremacy to Gentile world power, about 606 B.C. And he said, found in what book?
Book of Daniel.
All right, the Book of Daniel. And so what we have, the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, all right, yonder's the chart, yonder's the picture. The thing right over yonder, don't you say? Right over yonder. All right. And so, now I want you to get this, and this was another point that I saw the other day. When this stone cut out of a mountain without hand comes rolling, what does it hit yonder in that image? What part of it does it hit? The toes.
The
point that I wanted to bring out is, we talk about the last phase of it, it's going to be the old Roman Empire, and in a ten kingdom situation, giving their authority to Antichrist. But when he hit Antichrist, the whole system that began with Babylon falls. So you find some of all of that stuff mixed in the whole situation. Babylonian, Median, Persian, Alexandria, and the Rome.
Symbolic of all
the
Gentile
powers. And so there is the transference, you see, from the original down to the others, but it carries with it some significance, because the end of the whole thing will not come until that stone hits the ten toes, strikes the toes, and that gives you a little significance of what the toe is to the human body. All right. Now, second, in 597 B.C., the prophet Jeremiah pronounces the divine ban, putting an end to the Solomonic family succession on the throne. Now, this is very interesting here, brethren.
Yeah. It really pieces it together for me. I've been mixed up in these names.
Uh-huh. All right, now let's just hurriedly see what we see here. It's in Jeremiah 22, verses 24 to 30. And it was Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim. And we know now that Jehoiakim was the last king, though Zedekiah was a puppet king after Jehoiakim. But, and he was known in scriptures by other names, Jeconiah, Jeremiah 24, Jeconiah, I mean, 24 and 1. And,
Jehoiachin.
Yeah.
Okay, because, now that, see, that ties the two of those
together. Right. Not 2 Kings 4, 24, 6. Now, although Zedekiah succeeded this man after he'd been carried away captive to Babylon, Jehoiachin was very probably the last living ex-king of Judah. For he is seen in the court of Babylon 37 years later, Jeremiah 52:31-34. And it was during this brief reign of 3 months in Jerusalem, 2 Kings 24:8, that Jeremiah was sent to pronounce the doom of this royal family. And it was an utterance of great solemnity and addressed to the entire world as a message of universal interest and concern. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his day, for no man of his seed shall prosper sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. Now then, it's true, I think, that this fellow hadn't some children, but they were not on the throne.
Well, I think they killed him before his eyes and then put his eyes out.
No, that's Zedekiah. Oh. Zedekiah. Yeah, they put Zedekiah's eyes out. Well, and
the next paragraph it tells you about his descendants. And that found that mm-hmm. very interesting.
Now, here's the thing. He didn't have anybody in the geological, in the genealogical line to be a king. Now, watch it. Joseph mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. was of this line.
I just talked about that Sunday night. Me and a lady and another guy was discussing that, and this just brought the fact out. Because I heard that Joseph, although he was, Jesus came through, Joseph came from David, but he wasn't eligible because of this one thing
right here. This right here. And so that makes then, where did Mary's genealogy come from?
Nathan.
And that brings us then to the fact that Jesus had to be what? Virgin born.
Yes.
Virgin born. And I want you to notice now just how exact that thing is. You could say mathematical or any other term to try to describe it. Seed of a woman, going right back to Genesis 3:15. Now, no wonder he said, "Hear, O earth, earth, earth." Now, listen, Paul.
In other words, the world has considered these things the only thing to be studied by a few preachers and all that.
Uh-huh.
But this is saying this is something important to the entire earth.
The entire earth.
See the word of the Lord.
Right. Now, let me tell you. This kingdom, we call the millennium, and a lot of our people, they never study it or anything. But listen. The millennium is a very, very important thing in the purposes of God. But even in our lineage as churches, if we are true and have suffered with him, we shall rule with him. But we can only do so on the basis of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, because he's our Savior, the second Adam, if you please. And then our glorification, and what's the, of course I realize we meet the Lord in the air, and that's the judgment seat of Christ, and I think the marriage supper of the Lamb, and this, that, and the other, and all of that. But wait a minute, there's going to be some performance here upon this old earth for 1,000 years, and ruling and reigning with Christ, and Christ is going to be King of Kings. What does that mean?
Well, supreme ruler over every form of government that he has.
Exactly so. And Lord of Lords. My, don't you wish that had come today? Don't you wish it? And now, I've tested this thought with several people. What we've done with the Red China. What we've done with the
Nationalist
China. Yeah, Nationalist China. Somebody said, oh, well, what are we going to do? We're going to get a lot of oil and stuff. We're going to try to get our backs out from under the Arabs over yonder, and this, that, and the other. But I don't think we'll make the grade, but here's what it is going to do. And I checked this with Brother Travis last night. I said, doesn't this mean, among other things, that the date when 200 million soldiers, the King of the Rising Sun, march to Armageddon? I said, doesn't that bring it quicker? He said, it absolutely does. And anybody else that I've asked concurs. In that. Now, listen, folks.
Plus, the U.S. may be sealed her doom as a goat nation.
Exactly so. Exactly so. And I'll tell you this much, she's going to reap the result of the breaking of our word with Taiwan now. Now, you watch that. You watch that.
Because, you know, following the things you and I know about, the U.S. is seemingly under the control of the one worlders, and they are, at least we'll say, setting the stage for the Antichrist.
Right.
But there may be more involved even in what we understand in that. In relation to Antichrist, as he said that there were, in fact, somehow or other, there seems to almost be a lineage.
Right.
Of Antichrist down
right.
through history.
You're right.
Culminating in the capstone of all Antichrist. Right.
Now, here's the thing that I want to see, brethren. How pertinent is this that we're studying right here? Not only historically, but where is its bearing on the day?
Well, you talk about your application of what you gave us there. Responsibilities. Okay, if Israel as an entire nation suffered a loss from her lack of responsibility, churches, as given the seven churches of ages, suffer a loss in respect to their accepting responsibility, then individual church members cannot see the need of going any farther and just plunking herself down in a pew week after week. Isn't there going to be? They're not getting rid of anything. There's going to be a loss. They'll suffer. That someday will happen, and it'll be too late to do anything about it.
And we are the church. Just in the church, the ministry.
Yeah. So we can just sit here in a pew, and we got it made.
Uh huh. There you go. Now, this brings something down, in particularly under the heading of conclusion. In closing this discussion, the question might properly be raised. Why did the mediatorial kingdom of history deteriorate and apparently fail faith will not permit any venture to answer this question, but at least two factors can be mentioned, and I think these factors are basic factors. First, there was the lack of spiritual preparation on the part of the people. No government can wholly succeed unless there exists a sufficiently large body of its citizens who are in inward harmony with its constitution and law. Men are constantly in danger of forgetting the importance of this political principle. Now, this is the reason, brethren, that I have changed my mind to a great degree about what at one time I was so grateful for: democracy, democracy. Now, democracy works pretty well when the people are of a caliber to. All right. Now we see how the citizens here just weren't of the right caliber. And that's what is one reason that our nation is going down. I hadn't checked it, but I heard the statement made this morning by McGee that what was that even famous ruler of Rome one time?
Nero?
Nero. Nero was a homosexual. Now, that's what he said. I don't know. I'm just taking it that far. I wish I could have. In the Old Testament kingdom was the imperfection of the rulers through whom the government of God was mediated. It is an axiom of political science, and I've marked that in my book, that no government in the long run can be more perfect than its rulers. I heard a question. We listened to the news every morning while we were eating breakfast on KABC. It's kind of a news talk is what it is. And the question was raised, do parents want their children to become actors as much as maybe they did a number of years ago? No. And I said to my wife, and I said, there's not anybody now that looks down at the little boy and says, he might be president someday. Okay, so there we have it. Now, certainly it should not be necessary here to review the sorry record of even the best of Israel's rulers. Moses, who spoke intemperately and unadvisedly at the waters of Meribah. David, with his appalling double crime against society and God. Solomon, with his final violation of the most important relations for the king under the Mediatorial kingdom. And apart from violent revolution, any lasting form in government must always start at the top. Now get this, folks. This is a vital principle. And that's the reason that every day I pray with a deeper burning from my heart, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. And I think...
you know, there's a scripture in... seems like a... Anyway, it's in one of the epistles. Don't many of you be teachers because you take a great responsibility on yourself? Well, since people don't believe in the Word of God anyway, they really don't know what they're letting themselves into. But I think whenever a politician or a man decides he wants to be a politician to a real position of central responsibility, something on the order of mayor, a governor, or that type of thing, that he takes on a responsibility from God, whether he knows it or not, that he is best be should be that much aware of the Word of God,
yeah,
to realize that he has more than just the electric to be responsible to. He takes on a responsibility to God.
Exactly. There's the point. There's the point. All right. We have this reference here in Daniel 9 and 8. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of faith to our king, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. All right. Now, I just wanted to close out calling your attention to that. Now, we go over to page 135. And now this, we're coming to a third part of the study of the kingdom and the mediatorial kingdom in Old Testament prophecy. And I'm going to tell you, as far as I've gone ahead and studied this, I've learned some important factors about prophecy in general in the interpretation, the features of prophecy, that are as valuable to me as the particular lessons of prophecy that we get as it relates to this. Now, I wrote here at the top of the page on 35, thank God the Bible does reveal ages or dispensations. Without knowledge of these, a person, Bible student, a fuller or fullest preacher of the word, cannot reveal to people, the hearers, a well-rounded knowledge of God, of his activities, of his purposes, of the fullest of his revealed ultimate purpose. Now, do you want me to put that away? You can write it down, or does it strike you what I'm trying to say that?
Yeah, I'll go through it once again.
All right. If you want to write it down, I'll give it to you this way. Thank God the Bible does reveal ages. Thank God the Bible does reveal ages. If you want to put the word dispensation.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. All right. Reveals ages or dispensation. Without, and it appears there, without knowledge of these, a person, comma, a Bible student, comma, a fuller or fullest preacher of the word, should have been a little better designation of the words there, but a little qualification of what I meant there was used there, cannot reveal to people, comma, the hearers, comma, a well-rounded knowledge of God. Of his activities, comma, of his purposes, comma, of the fullest of his revealed ultimate purpose. I think that term will at least it'll butt out just a little fuller sometimes as you go along. All right, noting in the introduction this word here from Frank DeLeach. A prophet was certainly no fanatic, so that we could say these are beautiful dreams. The prophet here promises a new age in which the patriarchal measure of human life will return. I think there is another good little indication of some conditions in the millennium. Brother Wilson, let's repeat that. In which the patriarchal measure of human life will return, in which death will no more break off the life that is just beginning to bloom, and in which the war of man with the animal world will be exchanged for peace without danger. And when is all this to occur? Certainly not in the blessed life beyond the grave, to which it would be both absurd and impossible to refer these promises, since they presuppose a continued mixture of sinners with the righteous, and merely a limitation of the power of death, not its utter destruction. But when then? This question ought to be answered by the antimillennium. No interpretation of prophecy on sound principles is any longer possible from the viewpoint of an orthodox antichilism. Now that has to do with
anti-millennium.
Yeah, right, anti-millennium. Inasmuch as the antichilists twist the word in the mouths of the prophets, and through their perversion of scriptures shake the foundation of all doctrines, every one of which rests upon the simple interpretation of the word of Revelation. Now, I'll digress just a moment here to mention the thing that I closed out the last period on. And we had reasons to, in the lesson we were studying, for me to make this statement. I'm what is known as an old landmark Baptist. Now, what do you mean by landmark? Here's what I mean by landmark. I mean one trying to follow to the best of his ability with the, by being obedient or submissive to his grace as much as possible with an old sin nature in me. All those doctrines are landmarks laid out by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word landmark comes to us from the survey, official survey that was made that marks certain landmarks from which all of our property and everything has to go back to get to know where it lies and so on. But I just made this statement that I hear too much today that a lot of landmark Baptists have forgotten all of that word except L, and they're substituting the word Lucis. So I'm about decided we've got some Lucy Baptists today, along with what ought to be landmarks. All right, this is what I'd rather have if I go before the Lord comes. I want some song, old landmark Baptist, that has stood by the doctrine down through the years that I've known and he's known me to conduct my funeral. And as of now, I've asked if I outlive Brother Travis Hubbard, and if he's able, I want him to conduct the service of my funeral. Why? Because I've known him for 40 years almost. He still stands without wavering now, as far as I'm able to tell, any of the old landmark doctrines down to the years. And I'd rather have that kind of man stand and say the last few words over my remains before it goes out to Rose Hill than anybody else that I've known them by. Well, why? Simply because, now listen here, so many twist the words, not only the mouth of the prophets, but a lot of the words today. And to the point that there can be some question marks about their soundness as genuine landmark Baptist. All right. Now, the field of Old Testament prophecy is not only the largest, but also in certain respects the most important area in the entire investigation of the future mediatorial kingdom of God. Now, what he told us simply here, that if we go to these prophecies, we're going to learn a whole lot more about this kingdom, the millennium, that aspect of the mediatorial kingdom, perhaps than any other area. Therefore, now just to be specific, frank with you, John Calvin and Martin Luther missed the millennium altogether, and they take the